Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRothTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
This is April, the psychic housewife in New Jersey, featured on the Travel Channel's The Holes of Files. I just wanted to wish my very dear friend, Sophia Temporelli, a very happy 11-year anniversary right here on Live Paranormal. Congratulations, Sophia. I love you, and I'm so proud of you.
That's right. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And congratulations again. Yeah, 11 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com. And also, you can listen on ghosthunting.com now, too, as well. Feel free to jump into the chat room. Any questions for our guests, make sure that they're all caps. And as well, feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Hope everyone's doing great out there. Happy Easter weekend, everybody. Today, Steve Gonzalez discusses the new season of Ghost Hunters and his upcoming book, A Life with Ghosts, True, Terrifying, and Insightful Tales from My Favorite Haunts. Everyone visit Twitter at SteveGonzalez1, Instagram at SteveGonzalezOfficial, and hashtag Ghost Hunters for same-day episode social media interactive live feeds. Upcoming next weekend, we have Travel Channel Strange World host investigator Christopher Garitano You can stream the Strange World series on Discovery Plus, too, as well. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts, so like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghostlight Radio, as well monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits, he's monthly here, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Annie and Michelle Kopic, King Gearheart, and many more. If you miss anything, archive shows of the broadcast will be available right after as free MP4 iTunes downloads. Let's bring the host on here. Sophia, congratulations on 11 years here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 11 years.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. You've helped a lot of people through the years. And also to your Disney Channel, Disney HD, and Disney Plus, the Ghost and Molly McGee animated series interview with co-creators Bill Motz and Bob Roth. That's now on your YouTube channel, so that's posted now as well. You got all these Instagrams and Twitters and things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram, at Sophia Temporelli, and Twitter, just at Sophia Temporelli with one L, because my name's too long.
Yeah, no, we cursed you with a long name. Just drop an L and you can find Sophia. But fantastic show today. Tell us about your guest.
Well, today we all know Steve Gonsalves from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters Academy, Ghost Hunters Live, and currently Ghost Nation. Steve is also co-founder of Tap Para Magazine and now author with his book, A Life with Ghosts, True, Terrifying, and Insightful Tales from My Favorite Haunt, now available for pre-order. I want to thank the Travel Channel and Discovery Plus for making today's interview possible, and watch the new season of Ghost Hunters Thursdays on Travel Channel and premiere episodes streaming the same day on Discovery Plus. Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern for everyone, because I know the 7, 8 Central stuff can be a little confusing. So 9 p.m. Eastern, which is 6 p.m. Pacific time. Everyone visit Twitter, SteveGonsalves1, Instagram, SteveGonsalvesOfficial, and hashtag Ghost Hunters to talk with the cast on Twitter. So let's bring him into the show.
All right, Steve, thanks for coming on the show today. Oh,
hey,
it's taking a while to unmute. There you are. That means we have a lot of people.
Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming back on, and congratulations on Ghost Nation and the release of your upcoming book.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's exciting and a fun time to be chatting with you guys. We have the new season, Ghost Hunters, of course, every Thursday. The premiere was just this past week. And it seems like people liked the episode, so that's really, really cool.
Yes. Sorry, I messed up. Nation is now Ghost Hunters. You guys are back to being Ghost Hunters, which is amazing. Ghost Hunters is such an iconic show, and I think it's really just amazing to, you know, have the team investigating again under the title. What is it like for you to be, you know, the Ghost Hunters again?
You know, nothing really changed much in terms of what we, you know, were doing with the Ghost Nation. We were focusing a little more on private residences and homes and really trying to find places where we could help people. You know, the original Ghost Hunters sort of got very much into a bit of a chase for the best piece of evidence or you know, it was very evidence-based, mm-hmm. which is awesome, and that was really, really cool. But with Nation, you know, we focused a little bit more on, we still did larger places, but there always had to be somebody that we were legitimately going to help. And with the new Ghost Hunters, we've carried that over. We're doing, you know, larger places still. We're doing private residences, but there still has to be somebody there that we you know, offer some real assistance to, because a lot of places, mm-hmm. you know, like large asylums, they're super fun and awesome, but they don't necessarily need help, you know. But we'll do a large asylum if there really is, you know, a reason to be there and to help somebody or many people. And that's what we're focusing on. And it's been super, super cool to be back to that. Ghost Nation is awesome. We love it. But when the opportunity came to, you know, investigate as Ghost Hunters again, we jumped. We, you know, talked about that for couple months actually, and then we decided to go for it.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's such an iconic show. And in the beginning, you know, there's Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters Academy, Ghost Hunters Live. I mean, so many iterations. But for you as an investigator, how did your interest all come about for you?
The interest was always there for as long as I can remember, in terms of really liked, you know, the feeling of kind of delving into those unknown and unexplained, and even at a young age watching, of course, Ghostbusters and Poltergeist and all of that, really sort of. But it, I remember it was I was watching a movie called The Entity, and I was very young, and it scared me quite a bit. And my mom, of course, was like, "Oh gosh, don't worry, it's just for, you know, television. It's a movie. It's make believe." And she was kind of confused how I even stumbled upon such a movie. You know, like, there's some scenes in that movie that, you know, a kid really shouldn't be watching. But then, you know, I saw at the end there, this is based on true events, and ever since then, I was hooked. And I want to say maybe I was 6 years old then. But by 11 or 12, you know, I was reading Lloyd Auerbach books of course, William G. Roll, and really getting into the nitty-gritty in terms of how to investigate. I wasn't so focused on the stories, although ghost stories are super-duper fun. I was more focused on, okay, how can I find this stuff for myself? How can I experience this? How can I investigate it? Why am I so afraid of it? Why is this so terrifying? And that's sort of what sent me down my road there. I wasn't one of those investigators who, you know, had a life-changing experience that sort of set them on their path. Mine was just a deep-rooted interest.
Definitely. I think it's amazing, too, you know, just with how many investigators in the field really do develop an interest at such a young age, whether, like you said, it's a movie or an experience. I mean, it's kind of, like, ingrained in all of us just, you know, from the start.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it's human nature to be inquisitive and want to figure things out that you don't understand. And you know, we also, as humans, we like to explore and get into things. And the paranormal just seems to be that frontier of, whoa, this is pretty crazy and exciting stuff. And, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
So I know you said that when you watched the movie, it kind of started your interest when it said based on true events. But were you always a believer from the point of gaining that interest, or was there a specific moment where you said, wow, yeah, this is all real?
You know, the wow, this is all real came many years later for me. I want to say maybe I was, maybe even in my 20s. You know, up until then, I had some experiences and things that were interesting and but still had a few question marks, like, am I misinterpreting what's happening? But then, you know, as my investigation skills, I guess you'd call them, got more refined, and I started using other techniques and got really familiar with the gadgetry and the theory of it all, I started having some experiences and seeing things that I couldn't deny. And so for me, I think my belief started much later. I personally think that people shouldn't believe in it blindly. They should have their own experiences. And, yeah, I think that's one of the things that keeps the field on its toes is the ability to be able to have experiences but still say, I don't know, is it or isn't it? And then you got to figure it out and dive into it. And a lot of times we find that it is paranormal, and that's when it gets really, really exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many questions that we have as investigators that we really won't know until we end up there ourselves. But I think that's the interesting part of the field, is just trying to answer these questions, figure it out. And as soon as you get one question answered, you have 10 more that pop up.
That's true. And I mean, that's where we call ourselves and other people call us paranormal investigators. And you do have to investigate. You know, even as you're walking around, it may look like if you watch this on TV or if you do it yourself, you know, it it looks like you're just walking around and calling out in the thin air and doing things, but you're really actively listening, actively participating in the environment, constantly observing. And when things happen, you do have to investigate. You know, you get a reading on your EMF gauge. You can't just go up something here. You know, you need to figure out what is creating that. Is it, you know, radiation that's been left over for 100 years? Maybe it's not even something that's happening in the moment. And you need to figure all of that stuff out. And we are. We are investigating. You know, the term ghost hunting, ghost hunters, it's always been kicked around. And I guess we may have popularized it a bit with that being the show title. But we've never really called ourselves ghost hunters. We're not hunting. We're not capturing it. You know, we're not. We're investigating the unknown. And you do have to investigate. If everything just happens and you take it at face value and, you know, you're just observing things, and I like to investigate and figure it out. And, of course, always want it to be a ghost. That's the most exciting and the most fun and the most rewarding. But we do hope to disprove most things because there's no use in fooling ourselves. It doesn't do anybody any good. So we do try to disprove and even debunk things when we can. And there isn't a big difference there, but disproving, you're just trying to see what it could be. Debunking, you know, means that there is an intent of fraud behind it. So there is a bit of a distinguishing, you know, verbiage there. But, yeah, we do try to disprove everything. And sometimes things are so evident and right in front of you, there's no use. You know, it's like you see a chair slide across the floor or something, or a door slam in front of you. Of course, you still try to disprove it. Could it be this? Could it be that? But in your head, you're like, whoa, that was awesome and definitely something paranormal.
Yeah, if a ghost throws a chair at you for, like, 6 feet away, I mean, that's definitely pretty hard to be like, well, how did that happen? And I think that really is a part of the thing, too, with the paranormal. You know, people who have an interest will be like, yeah, you know, I try and disprove stuff, but also when something like that happens, you realize that there's no way to explain it away. And the people who, you know, tend to be more logical and completely don't believe will still be like, it was the wind that threw it 6 feet. So it's kind of the interesting thing of, you know, why some people believe in the paranormal and some don't, because even if it's that obvious, some people will still tell you that there's an explanation. But that's one of the things that makes Ghost Hunters stand out. Since you do work on residential, is being able to help the homeowners to show what is easily explained.
Absolutely. And we can help people without finding ghosts and without, you know, it's actually probably better for the people living in the home if they are, you know, a real haunting, and I don't want to say real because it can depend on how severe and how frequent the activity is, but if you're living in a place that's haunted, it's very hard to maintain friendships and relationships. It's hard to maintain a job and career. It really does take a toll on you. And you find that people who are living in a very haunted house, you know, they go through some. If you remember in Poltergeist, they have a pretty accurate depiction there. In the beginning, they're all in their house, and it's nice, and this is happening, and that's happening. By the end of the movie, the dad is—he hasn't changed his bathrobe in 2 weeks. He hasn't shaved. He's, you know, doesn't have a job anymore. He's—and that's a pretty accurate depiction. It may not always be that severe, or you could be one of those people that absolutely love living in a haunted house. But if they really are afraid, and it doesn't have to be that, you know, we find a ghost to help them. That's always the most fun and what we're after. But for instance, on Ghost Hunters, we were able to. There was a woman who had thought that somebody had died in a certain area. And the story that she had heard had been passed down orally, and they thought there was documentation of this, that a woman had tripped on these stairs and fallen. It didn't get help in time because she lived alone and ended up dying there. And this woman would trip every once in a while in the same area, and would fall down a few stairs. It was just like a little step stairs, and she would sometimes stumble and fall. And always blamed it on the ghost and was really terrified of it to the point where she would, like, sit down and, like, pushing herself down the stairs instead of walking because she was so afraid that she was going to get tripped. And we had found through research that, you know, the person that she had thought didn't, in fact, die there in the house anywhere near those stairs. She died hours away in a hospital, and the timeline was way off. She didn't even die in that certain time. And just, you know, the woman knowing that that never even happened, she didn't get tripped anymore. You know, she realized, oh, and it ended up just being something that she was kind of doing on her own, you know, just because she thought that. If she, you know, kicked her own foot on accident or just felt a little uneasy there, she would always think that something was trying to trip her down the stairs, and now she realizes that that wasn't the case. So you're even able to help people by just digging in the history and figuring things out and finding records for them. And because, you know, the average homeowner, they don't always know how to go and find deeds and records and, you know, plot and all of these things where, you know, as investigators, you do have a little bit more of a know-how when it comes to that. And then, you know, we're fortunate enough to have a high enough profile where when we call, you know, a local historical society or center or library, they already know who we are and they're pretty excited to have us. So, you know, our research ends up becoming easy, but at times we get there and they've already pulled 10 books for us. We thought this would be useful. We thought you'd like this. So we have extra we were able to go through and look at, and it's really cool to, you know, help people and figure it out. Always want it to be a ghost. Really, really do. And a lot of times on our show, it is, luckily, you know. Yeah, we do try to help people when we can.
And, you know, speaking of houses, too, besides your work on Ghost Hunters, you also worked on A House in Between. What was that like for you to kind of do something that's residential of that scale, where Alice Johnson owns it?
Yeah, you know, Alice is a great person, and I didn't, well, for that documentary, I didn't investigate. I directed it and produced it. I let them, you know, they were the team there. So you'll see Brad and John and they were the ones doing the investigation. I did pipe in every once in a while, just sort of, you know, because as an investigator, it's kind of like, guys, there's something over here. Like, you should get in that room or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So you may hear me off camera once in a while and be like, whoa. But I didn't, I have investigated the house. But during the documentary, I did not. But what a blow over there. Alice Jackson is a dreamboat of a woman, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. And when I heard about what was happening there, I was so fascinating, really was fascinated, because it was a house that was not a controlled study, but it was a study of the paranormal for 10 years. You know, she did not live in the house and opened it to investigators, and they were investigating, I want to say, almost every single day. And I want to say it's not a controlled event because you're, you know, in the environment, so you're not in a laboratory. But it was a study for 10 years, and they amassed some great evidence, and the fact that they thought that over time what was there was actually learning to communicate back over time. It was all quite fascinating, and I thought, you know, I was there as an investigator first, and just on my own investigating the place with the team there, and when I saw the story side of it, how she was treated in the town with sort of a raised eyebrow, how she really did not live in her house for 10 years but wanted to so badly because she loves the home, all of that, I was like, wow, this is, you know, people should really know about this, and that's where, you know, the documentary sort of came. But yeah, a great group of investigators over there, awesome people, and I had a blast working on that project. We did a part one, part two. We were able to get a lot of scientists involved, which took a long time, many months of, you know, me and Kendall and Vera, the other direct calling, and you know, I was hung up on, and many, many times. It's very strange. As soon as you mention paranormal to a scientist, they're like, nope, got to go. Sorry. I don't know what you're talking about. So prank call. Just, you know, I had physicists and geophysicists literally just worried about their funding, worried about their, you know, their university, worried about all of this stuff. And it's like, I get it, but come help us. We did find somebody eventually.
Yeah, you would think they would want to delve deeper into that. But speaking of you working with a great group of people, those familiar with the original version of Ghost Hunters might see that the team is a little different this time around. So do you want to tell the audience a little bit about who you're working with on the current iteration of Ghost Hunters and what it's like, you know, just getting to investigate kind of with this changed team?
Absolutely. We it's still the core of us. You know, do you remember the last sort of three or four, five, I want to say, season seven to, I don't remember the exact, but it's basically the same team that you'll remember. Nobody's dead. It's Jay, me, Tango, Sherry. We're there investigating. We're sort of the core team there, TAPS. And when we need a hand or we think it's, you know, an investigation where we could use a different expertise, we do bring in other investigators and guests, and you'll see familiar faces such as Chris Williams and Dustin Berry. And, who it's actually, I want to say, it's really exciting to investigate with Chris again, because she's somebody who we didn't investigate with for quite some time, because she's sort of, stopped investigating for quite some time. And moved to Australia and you know, was interested in other endeavors. And to have her back and in the mix is really, really exciting. Dustin, you know, we've always investigated with him, never stopped. Even on Ghost Nation, he would come and investigate with us. So, you have the Ghost Hunters team that you're familiar with and that people have followed this whole time. And Satori Hawes joins us every now and again. I think she's in one or two episodes. I know definitely, obviously, in the Bastille. But they'll see all the people they remember. And even Amy and Adam, you know, we investigate with them. It's really, really awesome and a lot of fun. And this season, recently we had Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead with us. That was super cool. We've known Chandler for many, many years. I think he... Gosh, I met him during, I think it was season one or two of Walking Dead. So back in 2010 is when I first met him. And great guy. My buddy Tori Belici is going to be on an episode. He's from Mythbusters. We have, of course, Satori and Cody joining us. It's just going to be super, super, what was really, really awesome. And, of course, Dustin and Chris, but we have a really, really cool thing going, and it's so much fun. Really, really excited.
Absolutely, and having so many great guest investigators is so helpful to just getting to experience other people's investigating styles and, you know, just see what different people capture at different locations. Because, you know, some ghosts are partial to men or women or, you know, younger people or older people, so it's always kind of interesting just to have different people around to generate different responses.
Absolutely. And I think that's something, that's a good point. It's something that not everybody who watches these shows quite understands. Because I'll get comments sometimes, like, everybody investigated this one room and no got any activity. Why do you keep doing, like, come on, what's going on? And it's like, well, you don't really know what they're going to respond to. You know, they may not even like my personality. You know, maybe they prefer to, you know, talk to somebody like Sherry or Jay, or so you do mix up the teams, you do it thoughtfully also, you know, just like you said, maybe who's in there would be more likely to talk to a woman. So you have Sherry and someone else go in, and yeah, that's a good point. We definitely try to do that. And even we don't know their interpretation of time and space is. So, say Jay and I or Tango and I are in a, you know, a building or a room for 2 or 3 hours, you can't just say, oh, well, nothing going on here, because then, and we use them loosely, obviously, whatever's on that other side, it may only be a fraction of a second, or it may be nothing. They may not even have a sense of time and space. We don't know. Ten they know, but we really don't know. Nobody knows. And so you can't really... That's why, you know, in Ghost Hunters, we did have a hard time in the beginning saying if a place was haunted or not, because we know that, okay, something may not have happened while we were here for this week, But if we come back in a month, maybe something will. If we were here for 2 weeks, maybe something would happen. So you have to be careful when you say places are haunted and or not haunted, or the activity is you know, frequent or not frequent. You really have to take that stuff kind of seriously.
Absolutely. And I know we have a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions and talk about some of the upcoming locations.
The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Today, our guest, Steve Gonsalves, discusses the new season of Ghost Hunters and his upcoming book, A Life with Ghosts, True, Terrifying, and Insightful Tales from My Favorite Haunts. Visit Twitter at SteveGonsalves1, Instagram at SteveGonsalvesOfficial, hashtag Ghost Hunters for same-day episode media interactive live feeds. It's a late edition of the show when we get right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know? It's almost like we didn't leave break.
No, poor Dave left out of the idle bites there. And, a little slow unmuting here, so that means a lot of people are tuning in. And Steve and Sophia, you're back on.
All right. Hello.
Hey, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So you guys go to some amazing locations this season. I know you can't reveal too much about the episodes, but can you tell the audience some of the locations you're going to and which one you found to be the most interesting while doing research?
Oh, that's a great question. The one that was most interesting doing research. You know, we are very lucky that to do what we do, you know, investigating the paranormal, that sort of thing, there usually is really interesting history because things, you know, life experiences, extreme life experiences seem to be one of the things that spark a haunting or create a haunting or leave behind some impression of some sort. And so the history part is always super fascinating. But I have to tell you, we got to investigate the Hoover Dam for this season, which was amazing. We got to investigate the Kennedy and Argonaut mines. And some of the history that I thought was super fascinating, one, you know, when you're dealing with Hoover Dam, I didn't quite realize that almost 100 people died during just the building of the Hoover Dam. And you can imagine, you know, those are untimely deaths. Those are deaths sometimes because we learned that they would actually move their whole family here to build or here there, excuse me, to build the mine. To build the dam. And so they were dying untimely, leaving, you know, a family now and an unfamiliar parent. They have to now fend for themselves and try to figure things out. But I was walking, this is a government facility. So we had, you know, of course, government workers, they were all super nice. And actually, when you're dealing with the government, they can look at us paranormal folks you know, with a bit of a raised eyebrow and then a little bit of a, you know, who are you guys?
Mm-hmm.
But they were all super gracious, excited that we were there. And I believe we were the first people to ever investigate the Hoover Dam for the paranormal, which is quite an honor. But one story, I was walking with this one gentleman telling us, and he said, right here was the death. And what happened was I had fallen, and he fell on this ledge, and the impact was so strong that his skeleton stayed on the ledge, but all of his guts and skin ended up on the ground. So it literally got like degloved just from the impact. You can imagine, gosh, but that's grisly. And sadly, you know, a lot of the grisly history is what, but you also have love. You have, you know, a lot of things that can also create a haunting, devotion and even a camaraderie and a coming together. There was the Kennedy and Argonaut mines that we investigated, and we have the destination Fear Gang with us on that investigation because it was such a huge place. And we needed some extra hands, and you know, they wanted to work with us again. We wanted to work with them again, good friends of ours. So it was, you know, just kind of made sense. But I remember there was something really awesome in the history. So this may be my favorite. I'm not sure. But these two mines, they were gold mines, and they were not enemies. But, well, I guess they were. They were rivals, and rivals to the point where they were even sabotaging each other. It was kind of crazy. But there was a terrible disaster and a huge fire, and 30 miners got trapped in these underground tunnels. And the two mines set their differences aside, came together to rescue these men. And, you know, even the next day as they're getting deeper into this, the whole town now has come together, and everybody is now unified, and it was a really, you know, tremendous sort of bonding and building experience for the community that they told us is still felt to this day, that there is a camaraderie and a friendship and a bit more of a loving relationship in the community because of that disaster. And sadly, you know, they weren't rescued. They all passed away. But that history, I thought, was quite cool, that the town came together, the two mines, to try and save these men. And it shows you that when push comes to shove, people usually do, you know, band together and love on each other and, you know, rivalries and the fighting and the this and that. In the grand scheme of things, is all just garbage, you know. It really is. And that's a true, you know, reminder to all of us, like, hey, stop this craziness that we all live for such a short, in the grand scheme of things, you know, 100 years, it's nothing in the timeline of the universe. We are just a flash in the pan. Why are we fighting and, you know, about who has more gold than the other? You're both a gold mine. Like, you know, relax. But it was really, really fascinating and cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing story. And it's so cool that you guys are, as you said, like probably the first people ever to investigate the Hoover Dam, unless someone did some like hidden thing on a tour or something, to actually do a paranormal investigation. Were there any challenges when investigating places like the mines or the Hoover Dam that you hadn't prior expected to actually going in and investigating?
Yeah. That, you know, the Hoover Dam is so huge that we knew that we wouldn't be able to cover all of it. Obviously, it would just be impossible. We would need months and months. So we did a bit of a triage system and tried to figure out, you know, the most active locations. And there was a location in one of the working areas where workers, and we would talk to them, and they wouldn't go in there. I mean, like, I'm a government worker. I'm expected to go in. I can't tell them I'm not going in that room alone because I'm afraid of a ghost. You know, like, it just doesn't happen. So they really did need some assistance there. But figuring out the, you know, which places we should focus most of our attention on was kind of difficult. We, of course, used the history. We used the patterns that we could recognize within the activity, you know, how often does it have severe in which areas. And we were able to narrow it down. And when it came to the mines, one thing that we try to go wireless whenever we can. But at the mines, we did have a lot of trouble with the transmission. So we had to hardwire a lot of things. We have enough wire to make sure we can hardwire everything. So it ended up adding a few hours on to our setup, which annoys all of us, quite honestly. You'd be familiar with this as an investigator yourself there. It's like you want to investigate. You know, the more time you spend setting up, the less time you're in there finding things and figuring things out. So when you add a few hours onto it, it's not fun. I mean, we have fun with each other, obviously, like even when it's stressful and we're, you know, I'll walk past Jay as he's slinging wires and we'll high five and have a, you know, you just have to, you know, look at it like, hey, this is a bit stressful, but look what we get to do, you know, look what we get to do. And all of that stress and extra work, it just dissolves and you just have fun. And you know, it helps to investigate with people that you like and get along with. You know, Jay, I've known for so long. We don't even need to talk to each other when we investigate. We know what's going on. Tango is my best friend. So investigating with him, we just, you know, a lot of times get in trouble because it's like, you guys have been talking about Star Wars for 2 hours. You know, like, you got to start investigating. Or whatever we're talking about. I'm just kidding. It might not always be Star Wars, but... So you have to investigate with people that you get along with, because long hours, and really, you know, if you all of a sudden have 2 hours extra of setup running up and down the stairs, dragging these wires everywhere, you want to do that with people you like, you know, not with somebody like, gosh, I got to be in this place with this guy for 10 hours a day for all week. Oh gosh. Or this girl, whoever. Luckily we have a great group and everybody loves each other. So it's really cool.
For sure. And, I mean, who knows? You're talking about Star Wars, you could have a ghost like, what? About? I mean, you never know what's going to elicit a response from a spirit. And when you are investigating, you know, there's so many long hours from, as you said, setting up, actually being on the investigating and reviewing evidence. It's hard not to, you know, talk about other things with people you get along with so well.
Of course. Of course. You have to mix it in. You really do. And we all have such, you know, people find it hard to believe that Jay has a sense of humor, especially because the earlier episodes of Ghost Hunters, he was a little more, you know, I don't want to use the word astute. I don't know what the right word is. A little more, I don't even know what the right word is to use, but
reserved.
I guess gruff. Yeah, he seemed a little reserved and gruff, you know, but he has the biggest sense of humor and the biggest prankster of all of us. You know, anytime... you just always immediately look at Jay and you just see him with his childish, like, smile, smirk, and he starts giggling and, like, it is, and you said something, too, that was so true, is that you really never know what's going to elicit a response. You really don't. There was a time when we were investigating and nothing was happening, and all of a sudden, Tango and I started talking about meatballs. It was actually his dad's meatballs we were talking about because they're delicious. And all of a sudden, we started getting responses and things happening, and we didn't even know this. And then, come to find out in the research later, the gentleman who we were mainly investigating wanted to be a chef, and his favorite food was Italian, and all this and that. So I'm not saying that's what piqued his interest. You know, it seems a little far fetched, but you never know. That may have been. He may have been like, these guys, all they want to talk, or maybe just ignoring, or not even. We don't know, but maybe talking about meatballs or Italian food, he's like, what? I want some of that. You know, you really never know.
No, I believe it. I was actually just talking on a show recently. Like, if I was a ghost right now, I think the hardest thing for me would be not having food. I've had psychics on that say, oh, no, you don't want food. Like, I want food in general. Like, if I couldn't eat an In-N-Out burger again, I would be devastated. So having someone, you know, talk about something you love in life, I think would... Like, for me, if someone brings up gaming, Marvel, Taylor Swift, food, I'm like Doug from Up. I'm like squirrel. So it's like, you know, ghosts have their own interests, and that doesn't change in the afterlife. So anything you say you never know what's going to start up a conversation with someone. And it's the same when you're investigating. Instead of just like, you know, do you know what happened to you? It's like, yeah, you're talking about meatballs. And he's like, I want to talk about meatballs.
Yep. You really don't ever know. You really don't. I mean, you don't always want to talk about crazy stuff. And but if the conversation goes somewhere, cause you're just talking it, you don't always have to shut yourself up and, you know, do an EVP session or, you know, ask specific questions about the paranormal. Sometimes it's when you're just talking about other things and something happens. Now, it gets tricky in the television world sometimes, you know, because if we're talking about whatever, say we're talking about Disney World and all this and that, there may be, we might be talking about stuff that they can't use necessarily. You know, they're not going to put a bunch of stuff about, you know, or whatever, you know, it's just not something that's done in the television or movie world. And then if something happens, you know, it's kind of like, oh gosh, I wish you guys weren't talking about this when that thing happened, but you'd never know when it's going to happen. So if you just start going off because you've been sitting in this room for 3 hours and you're talking about something else now and something happens, it's just kind of a roll of the dice.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been saying that is the fun of investigating. And some of this stuff you don't even find out until later on. So it's always great when you get evidence in the moment, and it's cool when you find it in post too, but you're like, oh man, I wish I could have responded then. I mean, with so many great locations this season, what was your favorite on the original version of Ghost Hunters as for locations you've investigated, and where would you love to investigate the most in the future?
Oh, that's a great question. I think my favorite is, and I know it's a lot of people's, but Waverly Hills in Louisville, Kentucky. It's just a majestic, beautiful place. And if you find, you know, beauty and in decay and that sort of thing, it is the place for you. And it's very, very active. And that I think is, you know, the place that I would always want to return it. If I was dead and gone and I could haunt a place that is a place for me to live, for, you know, it could maybe be Waverly Hills. I love it there. So fun. I'll investigate it every chance I get. But, you know, to a lot of people, that isn't, you know, the place. I know many investigators who have been there and haven't had any experiences, and they kind of feel like it's overhyped. But for me, I usually do experience things, and I find, you know, beauty in decay. It's such a gorgeous building. I get teary-eyed when I pull up to it. I love it there. And Ghost Hunters, we did actually a private residence once where we tried a lot of different techniques, and we tried a few together, what we call coupling, where you're, you know, using a few different techniques at the same time. And we started having some really awesome experiences and some back and forth where they were really answering questions, and we couldn't believe it. And there were some things I wanted to try there that I didn't get to, that I would like to do. It was a plantation home in Virginia. I would like to go back there and try some different experiments and techniques that I didn't get to while I was there. But if I had to say a place I would always want to go back to and that I love, it's Waverly Hills in Louisville. That place is just awesome. And the history, you know, everything is there. Everything that you need for a haunting is at Waverly Hills.
It is such a great location. And, too, besides Ghost Hunters and everything you've been working on, you're definitely very busy. You have a book coming out, if you want to tell the audience about that.
Yeah, thank you. It's called A Life with Ghosts, and it'll be out in August. You can pre-order it now, and it's not necessarily all of my favorite places, because a lot of it comes for different reasons, but places where I had poignant experiences, places where the activity really sort of blew me away, and it's all those experiences through my eyes, with some, of course, deeper insight, and I don't want to say tips and tricks, but, you know, if I'm talking about, say, Waverly Hills, I'll remind you that if you think you're seeing some shadows, you know, what you should and shouldn't be looking for, what is really going on, that sort of thing. Also, it serves as a bit of a, you know, memento mori, if you will, to those who have come before us, because we go crazy investigating these ghosts and we love it and it's all we focus on. But we tend to forget sometimes that they were people, you know, with loves and lives and losses and everything that we go through. And I wanted to, you know, pay an homage to them a bit. So I do dig into the actual people that we're investigating, and that's quite interesting. But I also found that I was learning a little bit about living a better life through investigating the paranormal. You know, you learn, like, whoa, this happened to this guy because he did A, B, and C. Well, let's not do A, B, and C, you know?
Yeah.
And so I put some of that in the book as well, you know, like, hey, I've been able to learn some things and share those insights as well. So it serves a few purposes, the book, but by and large, I would say it's some of my favorite experiences retold through my filter and what I experienced and went through at these places. And it's really, really, I think, for people who love what we do as investigators, whether you're an investigator, whether you're an enthusiast, an armchair investigator, whether you just like a good creepy story, if you like being scared, if you love hearing about life and its adventures, it's all there for you in that book. So I think people will really dig it. I do.
And where can people pre-order it?
You can pre-order it anywhere that books are sold, anywhere. I know that if they go to Simon & Schuster's website and just type in my name or the name of the book, all the pre-order links will come up there. But you can order it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you'd like. And then when it comes out, August 23rd, I think, August 22nd, you'll be able to buy it everywhere that you can buy books, Barnes & Nobles, all the stores, all that stuff.
Well, that's amazing. Congratulations on your upcoming book. We'll definitely have to have you back on to promote the book when it's out, too. I know we're at the end of the show, though, so are there any productions, other books, events, websites, or appearances that you would like to mention?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Ghost Hunters, of course, every Thursday at 9 o'clock on Travel Channel. And then, of course, you'll be able to watch it same day on Discovery Plus, but not until 9 o'clock. You know, they're not releasing it before it airs, so it'll air at 9 p.m. Travel, but then you'll be able to stream it at any point on Discovery Plus. So you could watch same time if you'd like. You could watch it at 9 o'clock with everybody else, but Travel Channel and Discovery Plus, and you can catch us at some conventions coming up, like Michigan Paracon, New Jersey Parunity Expo. I'll be at New York Comic-Con in October. There'll be another documentary project coming for sure, untitled and not exactly sure when, but I'll be putting out all of that information as it comes together. We're quite a far distance out from that, but yeah, still moving and shaking with all that stuff. So thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on today. It's been great talking to you, as always, and you are always welcome back on in the future if you have anything you ever want to promote.
Oh, thank you. That's really awesome. Really, really appreciate it. You're always super cool and great to talk to, so I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, and again, congratulations on everything. Have a great rest of your weekend, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
you too. You got it. See you later. Bye.
Wow.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. Fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. Steve was such a great guest, as always. I want to thank the Travel Channel and Discovery Plus for making today's show possible. And I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you. Make sure to check out Ghost Hunters on Thursdays, streaming on Discovery Plus and the Travel Channel at the same time. And I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com and Steve for his book, again, A Life with Ghosts, True, Terrifying, and Insightful Tales from My Favorite Haunts. Wherever books are sold, as he mentioned, in Ghost Hunters, Thursday nights, 9 p.m. And next week we have Travel Channel Strange World host investigator Christopher Garitano. The series is streaming now on Discovery Plus, but he'll be on again next Saturday, the 15th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have other people that are securing their guest spots as we speak. Happy Easter weekend, everyone. Enjoy a great spring break, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.